Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job.
You need to be alert, watching, looking around with a sober mind, because there is a real attack and there is a real battle, and you need to be alert and savvy in the spiritual world.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job. Mark is the senior pastor of New Life Community Church and the president of Moody Bible Institute here in Chicago. And I'm Wayne Shepherd. We're in a message that Mark has titled, How to Survive a Spiritual Attack. And we're discovering one of the ways the enemy attacks us is through anxiety and fear. Now, the Greek word for anxiety means to divide. Anxiety divides our minds, making it nearly impossible to concentrate on anything else. And yet, God gives us strategies to overcome these spiritual attacks. If you've missed any of the previous messages in this engaging series designed to show you how to navigate life in two worlds, visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. Right now, here's Mark Job with a message.
Philippians 4, 8 through 10 talks us very clearly about this. Be anxious for nothing. It is not the will of God for you to operate with the spirit of anxiety. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. If you are flowing in a spirit of anxiety, it is not, you're flowing out of the will of God in your thinking. And so basically what he says right here is, I want you to take that anxiety and I want you to throw it away from you as quickly and as powerfully as you can. You say, well, Pastor, I try to do that. You may have to do it over and over in a day. You throw it away from you and say, I'm going to focus on the promises of God, and I'm not going to fixate on the anxious thoughts that divide my focus. Why can you throw your anxieties on God? Because he cares about you. I'm talking to someone here this morning. Because the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the infinite God, who is all-knowing and all-sovereign, who's never had a beginning and will never have an end, the God who exists above time and space in infinity, that God who the angels fly around saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That God, I'm talking about that God, he actually cares for you. Number three, I'm talking about surviving a spiritual attack here. Then he goes on and he says, and number three, not only does he tell us embrace an attitude of humility, throw off anxiety, but number three, he says, be alert and clear-minded. Be alert and clear-minded. He says in verse 8, be alert and sober-minded. He uses the word sober because it's the opposite of someone that is non-sober. In our society, they check out your alcohol level, because we know that the alcohol level in driving can impair your ability to make judgments. And so the idea behind this is you need to be alert. In other words, know your surroundings, and then you need to be clear in your thinking and not deluded in any way so that your judgment is impaired. Why? Well, listen, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Because he says, hey, you need to be alert, watching, looking around with a sober mind, because there is a real attack and there is a real battle, and you need to be alert and savvy in the spiritual world. He refers to Satan as a roaring lion. Now, I want to be clear about this, by the way, because I know that some people, when we talk about the enemy, Lucifer, the devil, they conjure up these images, and there is fear that may grip some people's heart. And let me tell you, if you have an unhealthy fear of the enemy, then that is not of God, because you're playing into basically what the enemy wants you to have, is an unhealthy fear of the devil. The Bible says, fear God. And when I say fear God, I mean have a healthy reverence for the power of God. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, talking about what Jesus did on the cross, man, some of you are going to be encouraged by this. You should be encouraged by this. It says that Jesus on the cross, having disarmed the powers and authorities. Having disarmed. You know what that means? Having taken away their weapons, their ability to do damage, the strength of their artillery. That when Jesus died on the cross, he disarmed the enemy. The power that he had of condemnation and judgment have been disarmed in the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see, what you need to understand is that the cross disarmed the power of the enemy, but the enemy still has a virtual influence on your life, even though it may not be a real influence on your life. He has a virtual influence on your life via fear, deception, and I would add discouragement. It's like getting on the internet and saying to someone, oh, he's big, oh, he's scary, but he's only on the internet and he lives in Siberia. And you look and say, oh, I'm afraid he's going to come after me. Hey, he's in Siberia. But the virtual influence on you, this sense of it can affect your mind, and people get overcome by fear, which is not of God. And deception, which makes you think that, doubt the word of God and these things. And discouragement, which leads you to abandon the things that God has called you to. So fear, deception, and discouragement are weapons that the enemy uses even though the lion has been defamed. He's got a roar that's scary. His roar can cause us to be intimidated, to hide in our houses, to be influenced by its behavior, but ultimately he has been defamed by the power of the cross, who has defeated him already, and he lives in a state of defeat, and ultimately it will be manifest. But even now, there is no cosmic battle between good and evil. The battle has already been won. And so you need to understand the power that you've been given in the cross of Jesus Christ, your position in Christ. You need to understand your position in Christ, not in your own ability and strength to fight off the enemy, because that is weakness. But it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Now here's what I want to say about this as I move on. Listen, I think in some circles, the devil gets too much credit. And in other circles, the devil doesn't get enough credit. In certain circles, everything's the devil. I had a cigarette, it's the devil of nicotine. I had a bad attitude, it's the devil. I had a greasy hair day, it's the demon of greasy hair. I mean, everything's the devil, the demon. And listen, hear me well. I think if you grew up in those circles, it takes away your personal responsibility, because it's easy to blame it on the devil when it's really your own flesh. So stop blaming on the devil what you should be taking responsibility for. You snapped at your wife and yelled at her and called her the B word. Don't blame it on the devil of the B words. That is your plain old stupid flesh that got in the place, and you're wanting to control and manipulate. Don't blame it on the devil. Like, I'm just a victim of the devil of the B words. No. That's your flesh. Take responsibility. Repent and confess. Because if it's the devil, it's like it's his fault. I'm just a victim. No. You need to take responsibility over your own sanctification. Yeah. And then on the other hand, there are circles in which the spiritual world, we act like it doesn't exist, that there is no spiritual world. It's ignored completely. And we act like there is no realm out there. and kind of chalk it up to superstition or religious superstition. There is a spiritual world out there, and we need to be aware of it, but we need to be in a balanced middle of understanding what is the flesh and what is in the spiritual realm, and have a balanced middle in which we know the schemes of the enemy, but we also understand our own flesh in this whole spiritual battle that we're facing.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job here on Bold Steps. We'll return to Mark's message in just a moment. Mark, I'm holding today's edition of the Bold Stepper Weekly, which came in the email inbox for anyone who has signed up previously for it. I appreciate the jump start to my week that this gives me every Monday morning. This comes to listeners as a little dose of encouragement to start the week off right.
It really does, and it comes early on Monday morning. This week, we talk specifically about fighting that spiritual battle. We've been talking about that even in our messages in Bold Steps, but this reminds us of Satan is crafty and he comes at us, so be aware, don't be unaware of his schemes.
I don't want you to miss out on the Bold Stepper Weekly. It comes automatically once you sign up. There's no cost, no obligation. Sometimes it gives us a little personal glimpse into Mark's life. For instance, you're headed off to Israel next year. Information is there about that, but also a devotional start to the week. So sign up for the Bold Stepper Weekly at boldstepsradio.org. And just before we return to your message, Mark, I have to share this from Jillian, a Bold Steps listener. She says, "I'd like to say I thank God for Mark Job and his teaching. I had a stroke a few years back, and it's taught me to live for God, which each breath he's given me. I've been to that dark place of wanting to give up, but God in his infinite power has been protecting and keeping me. Every time I listen to Pastor Mark, it gives me an encouragement to keep pressing on, never give up, and strive to be a better person in Christ Jesus. I never used to tune into Moody Radio like I do now. I absolutely love it." Well, thank you, Jillian. That's wonderful.
Jillian, what an encouraging word that is. And you sound like a woman who, hey, you've been through some things in your life, but you have not let go of the Lord. And so thank you for your word of encouragement. We pray that God is strengthening you physically as he strengthens you spiritually.
All right. Thank you for listening to Bold Steps, but let's return to Mark's message now, how to survive a spiritual attack.
So not only embrace humility, throw off anxiety, be alert and clear-minded. And fourthly, he says, resist. Resist by standing firm in the faith. Resist who? Resist the attacks of the enemy. Listen to what it says in verse 9. Resist him. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the enemy of our souls. Resist him. How? Standing firm in the faith. Now, he doesn't say standing firm in faith. He says standing firm in the faith. I want you to notice the difference. He's not saying have enough faith to resist the devil. He's saying stand firm in the body of truth that lies in your faith. The only way that you can resist the deception and fear of the enemy is by knowing the truth. Are you hearing me? Because some people just say, well, I have to have faith. Yeah, but you have to have grounded faith. And this is not about using your fleshly personality to achieve things through faith. This is says, stand firm in the faith. You need to know the word, not just what some television preacher is telling you about the word. You need to understand the word, be grounded in the word, and understand that sometimes God, hey, later on he tells us that God's word leads us to suffering, and it's the faith of the word of God that leads us to stand strong, even in the face of suffering. And so he's not saying be grounded, let your faith be strong in attacking the in standing against the enemy. He says, resist him standing firm in the body of faith, the truth of the word of God, your position in Christ. I have been washed and cleansed, so nothing that I've done in my past can be held against me because it's been under the blood of Jesus Christ. I have the righteousness of Christ in me. No weapon formed against me can prosper, not because of me, but because of what God has done for me. I am sealed, washed, protected in God. I am cleansed in God. My security is strong. I don't have to worry about it if I've grasped the truth of the Word of God. Be grounded in your faith. Stand firm in the truth of the Word of God. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And lastly, I close with this. Let grace make you strong. Verse 10. And the God of all grace. The God of what? All grace. I love the label he puts on him. The God of all grace. What does that mean? The God who is full of grace. What does that mean? That means that he gives us what we don't deserve. The favor that we haven't earned. The good intention and merit that you and I, we should deserve justice, but he gives us grace. The power beyond description. The favor of God that brought you to salvation is the same favor that sustains you in times of difficulty when you don't deserve the hand of God, but yet he offers it because he's full of grace. He looks at you, and the Bible says that we are to approach the throne of grace boldly, not because we're haughty and rude and proud, boldly because who we are in Jesus. And the God of all grace who called you, by the way, can I say this? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, you're called. I'm not called. You know, some people say, well, I was called into ministry. Can I? Hello, we're all called into ministry. So he said, Pastor, well, you know, I don't have to live like that because, you know, you're called into ministry. Hello, you're a follower of Jesus. You're called into ministry as well. It may not be the preaching on a stage, but you're still called into ministry. There's no such thing as a believer called to Jesus that's not called into a purpose and a calling into a ministry. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're called. And you're called to ministry. Some people say, well, you know, I remember the call to ministry. Well, there is no like super extra high category. It's just we're all called. So embrace it. It's not the called and the non-called. You're all called to different things, but called nonetheless. And he makes it clear here. He says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, after you have suffered a little while, you don't want to hear this message. I'm going to preach it anyways. After you have suffered a little while, Pastor, I don't want to hear about suffering. You're going to suffer a little bit. In fact, part of your calling as a follower of Jesus Christ, and it's given unto us not only to follow him, but also to suffer for his sake. Well, Pastor, I don't want to suffer. I just want gifts from heaven. I want heavenly contacts. I want a man upstairs that can pull me out of jams. I want all the blessings. Can I tell you something? Following Jesus Christ, there will be an element of suffering. Be ready for it. Don't view it as this strange thing that you have to go through a little suffering. If Jesus the Messiah who called you had to suffer and die, expect that there will be an element of suffering for a little while. That purifies you. It changes your character. It does something in you. There is a price to pay in following Jesus. And I know that's not a popular message because people don't want to hear about having to give up or suffer, or that's not what we want to hear. But the Bible, if you read the real Word of God, the real Word of God tells you that following Jesus, there is a narrow path and few find it because most people don't want that narrow path. They want the wide road that leads to destruction, but the path that leads to life is narrow and few find it. And the reason that few find it is that it's a hard path. But he says, listen, you suffer for a little while, will himself restore you. And you will experience suffering on this earth. But then he will restore you. Restore means he's going to replenish you, strengthen you, and make you strong and firm and steadfast. His promise is this: you're going to suffer, so embrace it. I'm wondering if you've ever said that out loud. I'm willing to suffer for Jesus. Have you ever said that? I'm not saying that you want it. I'm not saying that you're praying it on you. But I'm wondering if you've ever said it. Lord, I'm willing to suffer for Jesus. Well, I know you've said, bless me, Lord. Here I am, bless me, Lord. And that's great. I'm not against that. But have you ever said, Lord, I'm willing to suffer for you, but give me the grace I need to endure it? If you're a follower of Jesus, can you just say that today? Lord, I'm willing to suffer for you, but give me the grace to endure it. Go ahead, say it. Some of you are, no way am I going to say that. It doesn't matter if you say it or don't say it. If you're a follower of Jesus, it comes with the calling. But also the promise that comes with the calling is that you have the grace to endure in time of need.
I know some of you listening right now are in a place of difficulty, trials, suffering, and some of you as a direct result of your decision to follow Jesus, from your family, from your work, from friends around you. And I want to say thank you for being willing to follow Jesus, even if it involves suffering. And so I want to pray specifically for those of you that are in a difficult situation because of the convictions, the stance you've taken as a follower of Jesus the Christ. Father, I pray for that person right now who is feeling the pressure, who has had to forsake things, who's feeling the abandonment, the pain of what it means to lose a relationship, be ostracized, have to put up with mockery for following you, Father. And I pray that you would encourage them right now. I pray that they would sense that they are not alone. I pray that they would know that your strength and power and refreshing are there, that it's worth it. It's worth it if we're suffering in the name of Jesus. And so thank you for these brothers and sisters right now. And I pray that you would give them perseverance and joy in the midst as they persevere. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Well, if you'd like to take that first step to faith in Jesus Christ, please go to our website, boldstepsradio.org, and click on the link that says My Next Step. Mark has put together an amazing video, by the way, in both English and Spanish, to guide you in your walk as a new believer. And when you let us know that you've made this special commitment, we'll send you a personalized letter from Mark. We'll send a New Testament Bible and the latest edition of our monthly newsletter, Today in the Word. And then while you're also online, be sure to check out our latest Bold Step gift. It's a book written by Billy Graham called Nearing Home. We'd love to send it to you with a gift of any amount. Learn more about what comes after this life and what really matters in the end. Once again, this book is titled Nearing Home, Life, Faith, and Finishing Well. And we'll send it to you when you mail in your donation to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. You can also give and ask for the book when you call us, of course, at 844-615-7363 or give online at boldstepsradio.org. Your partnership allows us to continue broadcasting on your local radio station every day, as well as helping us branch out into new markets across the country and the world. And when you give a gift of $30 or more each month, we'll send you a link for 50% off any book, any CD, DVD, or Bible study in the entire Moody Publishers catalog. We'll also send you a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck, and a personal exclusive communication designed just for you. Become a Bold partner today by going to boldstepsradio.org. And then don't forget, next May, you're invited to join Mark and his friends from Moody Bible Institute for a life-transforming journey to Israel. Immerse yourself in the sights and culture and beautiful landscapes of the Holy Land on this 10-day journey across the lands where Jesus walked. To learn more or to reserve your spot today, visit boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for joining us. You know, there are a lot of people who are stuck in life and they want to walk in freedom, but they don't know how. So tomorrow, Mark will start a new series that talks about breaking free, and we'll learn what it means to walk tall. Take your relationship with God to new heights when you join us Tuesday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.